Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
The Apostle Paul continues to defend himself against the critics who were undermining and attacking him, as he has been doing, actually, from chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. And it continues through chapter 3 and on into chapter 4. And when we get into chapter 4, we find Paul is caught up with the glory and wonder of being called as a minister of the gospel. What a privilege! What a glorious opportunity that comes to only a small number of God's people. But Paul, saved by the grace of God, was one of those chosen by God to become a minister of the gospel, a minister of the new covenant. But as he makes clear, moving into verse 2 of chapter 4, along with this wonderful privilege, there are some very significant responsibilities. And in listing what some of those responsibilities are, we have a pretty good description of what a gospel ministry should be and should not be, what it ought to be and what it must not be. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." We'll continue looking at this description of gospel ministry on this broadcast, which is Wednesday, October 26. We're thankful that you're able to be with us, and we're very grateful for those whose financial gifts make this possible. The ministry requires a high level of integrity. It requires the integrity of open inspection, no secret things of shame, he says in verse 2. "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame," or the secret things of shame. Gospel ministers must have open lives. I remember hearing more than once in my ministerial training, men who would come to talk to those who were preparing for ministry. Men in the pastorate would sometimes come and share with us some of their experiences. And more than once, I remember being told by some of these men, "Now, it's very important that you learn to fence yourself and your family off from your ministry. You need to have privacy. You need to have some time away." Well, I certainly understand that. I've been in gospel ministry for many decades now, and I understand that desire. I understand that necessity to a degree, but here's the danger. In fencing yourself off from the people that you're ministering to, it's not but a half a step beyond that to conducting two different lives, so to speak, your public life and your private life. And your public life can be seen by others, but your private life is totally shut off from inspection. But that is not what the Apostle Paul is saying here. We have renounced the secret things of shame, and that requires a large measure of openness. It's a safeguard, actually, against your own tendency to develop shameful practices, which can only be done in secret, as well as a necessity for people to be able to understand your life in such a way that you become an example to them for their lives. And both of those things are very important. A minister's impact upon others is not only what he teaches them, but it's also what he models before them. And if all they ever see is his pulpit presence, his public ministry, but never see how he interacts with his wife and with his children, how he conducts himself in his leisure time and so forth, if they never see these things, then they are losing a very important model for Christian living. And so there needs to be some privacy, of course. Everybody needs that. Nobody can live in a glass house all the time without it taking its toll upon them. But we need to be careful that that doesn't become an opportunity for a secret life which is not a godly life. That's the problem. And so, as a minister of the New Covenant, Paul says, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. There must be the integrity of open inspection, of ability for other people to view your life, not only public life, but your private life as well. But then beyond that, secondly, there is the integrity of straightforward methodology. For Paul goes on to say, not walking in craftiness, not employing cunning devices or trickery to achieve a goal. This can be done in a lot of different ways, but in the business world, unfortunately, sometimes there is what is called bait and switch. You advertise one thing, but you know good and well that that's not really what you're going to try to provide to people. When you lure them in with what you have baited them with, then you switch to something else. And that can be done in ministry as well, to present one thing and then switch it to something else when people actually respond to the initial bait. You can, for example, entice people with entertainment and then try to switch them over to become followers of Jesus Christ, to faith in the gospel. You bait them with one thing, the kind of entertainment which they will respond to, which you are confident that they will enjoy, as a way of trying to get them to do something else. You don't really intend to build a congregation on the practice of entertainment. You really have better notions in mind than that, hopefully. But you are going about it in a deceitful way. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Not walking in craftiness, not using cunning devices or trickery in order to achieve a goal. Your goal may be an honorable goal, but the method that you are employing in order to reach that goal is deceitful. What I see a lot of in ministry today, in the churches today, is the effort to present an image of being cool. We are cool. We are up to date. We are hip. We are. You don't have to be thought of as being different in order to be a part of our church. Other churches may be that way. In fact, some churches even make a major issue of this whole thing. We're not one of those old-fashioned kind of churches where they come to church just to sing hymns. You don't, and boy, this is so far gone that it's almost become standard today, but you don't have to dress up to come to our church. You don't have to sing out of a hymnal to come to our church. We don't do those things. We're up to date. We're cool. But, of course, we still believe the gospel. We still believe the Bible. We just go about it in a more modern way, a more acceptable way, a way that the world approves of, or so we think. I don't know that they ever really do, but we kid ourselves into thinking that. And a way that means you will not have to be different from the world in order to become a part of this ministry. Other churches might be that way. You have to become unlike the world in order to be part of that congregation, but not ours, not ours. You can keep a lot of elements of worldliness about you, enough to be considered cool, but we're still believing the Bible and the gospel, and we're not really we're not really being of the world, but we are just being a little bit more like the world than what others might be in order to achieve a goal. This is the way that we have opportunity to minister to more people. And, of course, our purpose is to point them to the gospel and to teach them God's word. But, frankly, by my observation, it doesn't usually turn out that way. As somebody has wisely said, what you attract people with is what you're going to have to do to keep them. If you attract people with entertainment, you're going to have to continue the entertainment in order to keep them. You got them in with entertainment. What's going to keep them from leaving if the entertainment stops? You got them in with being cool. What's going to keep them from leaving and going and finding some other cool ministry when you stop being cool? And so it's not as easy as some people think. We're gonna get people here because we need an opportunity to be able to minister to them. We have to get them here somehow. So we're gonna get people here with this particular approach, but that's not our goal. Our goal is the gospel. Our goal is to see people saved. Our goal is to teach them God's word, but we're just going about it in a more enticing way, a more attractive way, a way that will help us to gain a larger congregation and a greater following. Well, that smacks me as being what Paul is calling here walking in craftiness. And he's telling us that a gospel ministry, which is a ministry of integrity, is going to use straightforward methodology, not deceitful methodology. How can you expect God's blessing upon that which is bait and switch? That which is presented as fun and games and cool and approved, when that's not really what you say you hope to achieve. Why not go about achieving what you hope to achieve by a straightforward methodology? If that won't work, then it doesn't have the power of God on it anyway. We will take it up tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.